Amen. Praise the Lord. Chapter 7, 2 Kings, as we dig in here and just see what God has. We know that Elisha was in his house in the last chapter. He's gone through a bunch of things already, and the king is after him again. And there's a famine in the land. We saw that the last chapter. But he sent a messenger, and they kind of caught the messenger at the door and held him there. And the king is on his way and wants to get Elisha for what he's done, even though it isn't Elisha's fault. It's God's trying to get the attention of the king. But of course, he's not paying attention at the moment. So Elisha says in verse 1 then of chapter 7, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, in two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. So there's been a famine in the land. There's been things that have been going on. And the Lord prompts Elisha and tells him these things. And so Elisha pronounces those things and says, listen up, land. There's things going on. And about this time tomorrow, in the measure there, a measure is about 4 pecks. So they got 8 pecks of flour, and it's going to be sold for a shekel, which is outrageous because they have no food, they have nothing. And a shekel's only about then, that time, well, now it's about $1 probably, but it was about 60-some cents when Mr. Schofield wrote this Bible. So, but it's gone. Inflation, of course. We got to have inflation or else we're not happy. But the first few words Elisha said here, and for you and I, sometimes we come to that place and we realize that, Lord, I've been listening, but I can't hear. And what does the Lord say in Revelation to the churches, for those that have ears to hear? Sometimes we can listen and not really hear. We hear things, but we really don't hear things. And a lot of couples go through that. They accuse us husbands of having selective hearing. I'm just deaf to everything, so I just I don't know. But sometimes we really don't listen to the things that are going on. We don't pay attention with our heart. We just hear the things, but we don't connect them with the mind and the heart. And that's what the Lord wants for us. That's what the Lord tells the churches in Revelation. For those that have ears to hear, listen. Listen and hear what I'm saying to you. Listen and hear what I have for you, because I have so much for you. And we need to be in that place of really being good listeners. That's why the Lord gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. So that we would talk less and listen more. But we don't always do that. We sometimes want the Lord to hear us, and we want him to listen, but we don't always do the same. And it's interesting, in Psalms it says that the Lord bows his ear down to listen. He inclines his ear. And boy, do we do that sometimes. Do we pay so much attention that we're inclining our ears just to hear what people are saying to us and the things that God is saying to us, more than the distractions of the world? And I'm at an age in hearing and all of that stuff where sometimes I have to point my good ear towards people, or else watch their mouths and really pay attention to what they're trying to say. Because with everybody else talking, you want to hear all the conversations and you want to hear everything that's going on rather than just the one thing. And sometimes we really have to focus in on that and do that. That's why we encourage folks, when they're reading, just to get alone with the Lord and just to hear what God is saying. Because sometimes we need that. We need to just sit before the Lord and hear all of what he's saying. And so Elisha says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Listen to what God is saying. Tomorrow about this time, even though there's a famine. And Elisha's saying this without giving out the answer yet, without giving out what's really going on, because in the land there's a famine. We just saw the last chapter, two moms, and they decided to eat their kids. That's a famine. that's a famine and a half. And we don't know all the things that go on in people's hearts and even our own hearts. We don't know what we would do. But the famine was so great during all this time that they decided to eat their children. That's awful. Instead of just asking the Lord and getting alone with the Lord, we see the famine. We feel the famine. We feel the hurt of that and just get in that place where we would do awful things during awful times. And yet the Lord wants to minister even in those times to us. And we've got to be careful to be listening, not just in the good times, but the bad times, the mediocre times, just the day after day stuff. Lord, give me ears to hear, even in today. Because we don't know what today is going to bring. We don't know if today is going to be a supernatural day where the Lord is going to do things like Elisha is talking about. But we should have the same ear to listen during those times as we do during hard times. We always come to that place, especially during hard times, of crying out to the Lord even more than normal, right? During those hard times when we hear cancer, when we hear this, and when we hear relatives passing and all of that stuff, we have ears to hear. We really pay attention then. But do we pay attention during the good times too? Lord, give me an ear to hear, because we don't know what's going to happen today. So he said, hear the word of the Lord. Tomorrow about this time, there's going to be flour that's sold for a shekel and barley that's sold for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold. And here comes the skeptics, right? There's always a skeptic in every crowd. And didn't you notice that when you first got saved and you started telling people that you got saved? And they go, really? I don't know if I believe that. I know your past. I know what you've been like. I don't know if you're really saved. And the skeptics are there instead of rejoicing, instead of being listening and just being excited about the things that are going on. There's always a skeptic that's there. And this man, the Lord whose hand the king leaned on or was closest to the king, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Oh my goodness. In other words, I don't believe God is able to do it. Oh, not that there's skeptics in the world. But there's skeptics in the world. So, and he said, behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat thereof. As Elisha looks at him and he says, just because of your heart attitude, because of not believing the things of the Lord, you're going to see it, but you're not going to partake. What does that mean? Whoa. If I was that guy, I'd start repenting right away. Because we see the results, right? We look at the rest of the chapter and we see, oh, that's what's going to happen. This guy didn't know, but he wasn't listening to the things of the Lord, and it doesn't seem like he wanted to. Because Elisha looks at him and says, you're going to see it, but you're not going to partake of it. You're not going to partake of the things of the Lord. Oh, and that's an awful thing that was put on him. But he says, you're not going to eat thereof. And in verse 3, it says that there was four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? They couldn't come into the city. And the Syrians didn't want them, evidently. He didn't think that they were anything that they had to worry about because they were leprous. And so they're sitting outside the gate. And why are they sitting outside the gate? Because the people inside, as they would have extra food, they would just throw it over the wall to the ones that were leprous. And so they're just waiting for food. But with things being so bad and moms eating kids, they're not going to throw anything out over the gate. And so these guys are starving just like everybody else is starving. They're in a place where they're hurting, but the Lord is going to use leprous men in this place. And don't think of people as being so much diseased that the Lord can't use them or can't speak to them. Because sometimes it's those that are hurting the most, those that are in a place of just struggling physically, are going to be the ones that the Lord is going to work through and look at. And we can't have hearts that are just so judgmental that we would just immediately cut them off. Well, let's see, God's not going to speak to them. It's got to be the pastor. It's got to be a teacher. It's got to be a prophet. The Lord uses people all over the world for things that are going on. Don't be so judgmental that you can't hear from them either.
A donkey,
yeah. That's what most pastors are, donkeys. We're just... So there's four leprous men sitting at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we're going to die there. And if we sit still here, we're going to die. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians, and if they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we're just going to die." They knew that no matter what went on, they were just going to die. They've given themselves over to that place. But look at the awfulness of that, that there is no hope in these men at all that God can do something for them. That's a sad place to get to. And yet we've got people in the world that are at that place right now, that no matter what, we're going to die. We might as well just give up and give ourselves over. And we have people, healthy people, who just don't want to live in the world anymore. And there's been news reports coming out of Switzerland and Denmark and other places that healthy people are getting euthanized just because they don't want to live anymore. And they've given themselves over just to die, because it would be better for them just to die, because they're so depressed and so anxious about the things that are going on, that they would just give themselves over to die without looking for God to do something. We should never get to a place of just being so depressed and so overwhelmed with the things of the world that we would just want to commit suicide and die. We should have hope in our God, no matter what. Even if He doesn't answer the way that we want to, He probably has an answer for us that we need to listen to. And the suicide rate with kids now is just double digits over what it was before COVID started, because they've been left alone for so long and just given over to the things of this world and given themselves over to those things that they have no hope. There's always hope in God. And we need to teach our kids that, and to just give them a hope that goes beyond what they see out here in the world. But it's just amazing. These guys have just given themselves to a place, and you could see where they could. They're lepers. There is no fellowship with anybody else but just other lepers. But isn't that the case? Sinners always go with other sinners that are just like they are, don't they? And even Christians go with people who have the same likes and the same attitudes towards things. We all gravitate towards that place. But we should all come to that place of being encouragers for one another, that there's hope even though things look bad. And things look awful. We see the UN trying to come up with a pact of trying to take over the world with the climate change people and just trying to come to that place of just ruling the world with their own health system. They can't do it. But God, that's where we always go. That's where we should always be, is, Lord, You have a hope beyond this. And we see all the things that they want to do, but the things that God wants to do are so much greater. He wants us to rise above the things of the world and not stay there. So Lord, help our hearts to do that. So they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were coming to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. So they come into this camp. There's tents all over the place. There's horses, there's camels, there's food, there's riches, there's all these things there, but not one man. Can you imagine if you did that? We did that once when I was on staff at Calvary of Rochester. The poor gal that I did it to, she was a secretary there for a while, and I brought in an extra set of clothes with my sneaks, and I put them outside the door. So she came out and she goes, ah! She thought I got raptured. I thought it was great. I was laughing like crazy. She didn't think it was so funny. I don't know. But it's just, you know, but what are they thinking when they come into the camp? What are they looking at? There's nobody here. All their stuff is here. All the things are here, but there's nobody here. What are they thinking? Don't know. But they came in. There was no man there, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said to one another, lo, the king of Israel is hired against us, the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. We will do anything to stay alive, won't we? We'll leave all our riches. All of a sudden, they don't seem as important as they used to. We'll leave everything just to save our own skin. But if we're Christians, we should be in that place of still being a witness even in those times. Lord, help us not to be so afraid of things that are there that we would flee from what we should be doing. But notice the Lord did it. Bless you. The Lord did it. The Lord made the host hear this noise. But notice the people of Israel didn't hear it. And the Syrians aren't that far away, because these lepers, who probably have lost digits, lost toes or fingers or noses or ears or something, aren't going to go a real long way to find food, to find comfort. So they've come up. The Syrians heard it, but Israel didn't hear a thing. And the Lord can make people do that. He can make us hear things that others can't hear, if we're listening, if we have ears to hear. And evidently Israel didn't have ears to hear. They didn't hear that the things had gone south for the Syrians and that they had left. Because if they did, what would be the first thing that they would do? They go out and gobble everything they could find in sight, right? But they didn't hear it because they weren't listening. They weren't paying attention to the things that were going on around them. They were just thinking, we're going to be here, we're going to die. And again, an awful place to go to. But the Syrians heard it, and they fled. The Lord taking care of his people, even though they weren't following him, even though they weren't having a relationship with him, he saved them and preserved them, just so that they would come to him and come to a relationship with him. And so they left, and so these four leprous men come up. And it says in verse 8 then, and when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink. And food is such a draw, isn't it? They didn't even look at the other tents to see if the soldiers had just abandoned one tent. They were just busy about just shoving food as fast as they could down. When the lepers came into the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, they ate and drank and carried away silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. They weren't worried if anybody was going to show up. They just saw riches, they saw food, and they took care of themselves. But something good is going to happen. Something good is going to come. And they came again and entered into another tent, and they carried thence also and went and hid it. They're preserving themselves, and they're taking things and hiding them. We'll come back later and get this stuff, and we'll be rich people. You know, the sad thing is, they're still lepers. But they're hiding riches. And isn't that what we do when we come into this world? We start gathering stuff and hiding the riches of this world and gathering it to ourselves rather than sending riches towards heaven. We'll send riches here so that we can hang on to those, but how long are we going to have them? How long is a leper going to live? Not many years in those days. not much time, because their whole body would just completely rot from the inside out. They wouldn't have long to live. And what are they going to do with those riches? They're just hidden now. But then in verse 9, it says, they said one to another, we do not well. And even in that place, they're still looking, and they're still coming to a place of realizing we're not doing what's best. We're doing what's second best. We're not doing the very best. And that is a great thing. The Lord is changing even the lepers' hearts to come to a place of realizing that this isn't the thing that we should be doing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says this. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. They have a treasure that's there in the things of the world, but they don't have the treasure of heaven. They don't have that place where they have treasure built up in realizing what they have, that they have this relationship with the Lord. And there's so many Christians right now who aren't believing and who aren't trusting the things of the Lord. We're trusting what the CDC says more than we're trusting what God says. We're trusting all what our politicians are saying instead of trusting what God is saying. Or we're trusting what we can see more than what we can hear. Lord, protect them as they go. But he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure inside of us. If we're born again of God's Spirit, if we've trusted in what the cross of Christ has done for us, then we have a treasure inside of us that's greater than any treasure the world can leave us, greater than any treasure that we can find in this world. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, and it's not of us. It's what he's given us. Because his riches are so much greater than the riches that this world can give us. You can be rich in the things of this world and have absolutely no riches of heaven. And that's a sad thing. We just saw yesterday that Mr. Buffett, who is one of the richest men in the world, has a $1 trillion company now. Yeah, and who cares? As you really look at it, this man is getting so old and crotchety, he can just about move now. He's facing death. And what is he doing for that? His $1 trillion company is not going to save him. His $1 trillion company is not going to be able to give him medical care that's going to keep him and sustain him. It can't do a thing for him. But there's riches in heaven that can do so much for him, that could bring joy and peace even in this time for him. And that's what we need to have. We have that treasure in earthen vessels. Lord, help me to depend on that more than I depend on my Social Security. Lord, help me to depend on that more than I depend on what my car can do. And because there's an old song that says, you can't drive your car to heaven. There's no gas in heaven. Aw, man.
No electricity.
No electric cars either. There's no plug-ins in heaven. Isn't it amazing? But we depend more on that. And here they are. These lepers are depending on what they're finding. And we do that sometimes too. What we find becomes so precious to us instead of God becoming precious to us. In Peter, it talks about this word, this word that God has left for us as being a precious word. Peter has come to a point, this bulky old fisherman that's just hunkering down and doing the things that he wants, and yet he comes to a place at the end of his life and he says, this word that God has left me is precious. And I don't know about you, but this word is becoming more and more meaningful to me the older I get. And it's just because I think the older I get, the more I want things of heaven. And so I'm looking more into his word and just wanting more of him, because this world isn't satisfying me like it used to. And it's just, oh, it becomes precious. And do you hold it as precious? Do you hold it and keep it? And you know, one of the sad things, in every church that I've been in, there's always those times where they have a room where there's leftover Bibles, where people have brought them in and left them, and they never come back and ask for them. Man, if my Bible goes everywhere with me, if I leave it, I have to go back in the house and get it and make sure it's in the car with me when I go. Because it just, I want that with me. I want that, not just in the physical sense, but the spiritual sense. I want His Word with me wherever I go. And for me, just being able to touch it and just being able to hold it is something precious. And you can have it on your phone, but you know what? When the power goes out, I can still read. You got a blank screen. I want this baby in my hands. I want to hold it. I want to keep it. It's become that precious to me. And it should be that precious to us, because we're that precious to Him. But they said, we're not doing well. This day is a day of good tidings. And it tells us that again in Scripture, as we look at it, as we see a day of good tidings, and you know it well, we go through it every year at Christmas, don't we? In Luke chapter 2, it talks about it. In verse 10, it says, "And an angel said unto them," because remember, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. And it said, "The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy." There's tidings that come that aren't always bringing good joy. There's tidings that come that say the war has started. There's tidings that come that say we're in desperate trouble. And there's tidings that come, and it comes a little faster now because it's coming through social media, but not all of it has good tidings and it's great joy. We have great joy in what God has brought to us as far as His tidings to mankind. I've given you a Son who's going to save you from your sin. There can't be greater joy in the world than when God said that. I've brought something to you so that you can have salvation, so that you can be forgiven of your sin. And isn't that what all of us want? We want forgiveness of our sin, because we realize that with forgiveness of sin, we have access to heaven. And the world is going to clamor for that, but it's going to be too late for most of them. Remember the man who was in hell? And he cried out to have Abraham dip his finger in cool water and just bring him a drop of water. And the Lord said, "No, there's a great gulf between us, and he can't come." Oh, can you imagine that word to that man? The rich man said he was a rich man. Lazarus was a poor beggar. Have Lazarus dip his finger in and bring me that cool water. He says, "No, can't happen. The judgment has already passed." Oh, that should make our hearts want to pray for those who don't know Jesus, even come to a place more and more where we're praying for them and asking for God's hand to be upon them. There's good tidings of great joy, and we have it. And yet most of us walk around like sourpuss, lemon-filled Christians, and just, gah, who would want what we have? Man, when you're smiling, when you're joyful, people want that because they don't have it in the world. They hate their jobs, they hate their marriages, they hate their kids, they hate the things that are going on in the world, they hate everything about it. They hate lines at Wegmans, they hate getting in that line behind the person who's got 611 coupons, and you know it's going to take 4 days for them to get through those coupons. And then the computer's going to break down just before the end of it, and they have to start all over again and just go, "Why did I get in this line? God hates me." No, He doesn't. He loves you. He's trying to get your attention. "We do not well, for this is a day of good tidings." Notice these men are still lepers. And yet they said, we have great tidings. Ah, it doesn't say that he healed them of their leprosy. They just found food and raiment. They found stuff. They found things that they knew others needed. Why don't Christians have that heart of saying, we've got stuff that others need? Oh, even though we still have our sin, even though we still have these issues, we have great tidings. Yeah. Oh my goodness. And the world needs to hear it. They may not want it. You know what? They could go back to Israel and say, hey, there's stuff there, and they're going to. And people might not have even come out. Who cares? We got more kids to eat. Really? That's the best you can do? That's not great tidings. They may not believe what you say, but you know what? We've done everything that we could to draw them. You can bring a horse to water, right? That old saying, but you can't make them drink. Because those horses are stubborn. And they are rotten. We had one horse when I was a kid, and he got crotchety when he got old. I used to love that horse, but after a while, you could get on him, and it would take forever to get him out of the barn, because he knew, this guy's going to take me for a walk. I don't want to go for a walk. And you could yank on that bridle and get him out there and get the saddle on him, and he would just, you could feel him cringing all the way there. And I'd get on him and just make him go. And he wouldn't run. He would just... And you could hear him snorting all the way through. This is not fun for me anymore. But as soon as I turned him around, he was gone like a shot. And I almost couldn't stay on him anymore because he would go so fast. And he wouldn't stop for the door. He would just run in the door. And I'd sit there. I have to lay flat on him. Otherwise, my head would be like in those cartoons where they'd hit the door frame. You know, it just bounce off. And I have to lay down because he wouldn't stop for me. I got to get in the barn because that's my safe place. Oh. And we go to the place that we're comfortable rather than the place that was good. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us, and therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. The urgency that was there for them was so great that they had to go back. And remember, it's twilight. Remember, the thing said they rose up at twilight and went to the camp. So it's already becoming nighttime because they've already gone into two tents. They've already had dinner and second dinner and third dinner. And they've went into two tents and taken the silver and the gold out and the raiment and hid it somewhere. So it's probably way dark by now. And they're saying, we've got to get back. Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus when Jesus showed up? Mm-hmm. They're crying out because Jesus died and there was no hope anymore. And they're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, 6 miles, 6 to 7 miles. And they're walking away and Jesus comes and walks along with them. Hey guys, how you doing? We're doing lousy. It's an awful day. It's a bad day. You know what? With the Lord, there are no bad days. They're just different kind of days. But it's not a bad day if you got Jesus, because you got all the hope that you need. And so they're walking along and they sit down to eat, and all of a sudden he reveals himself to them, however he did it, in the breaking of bread, it says. And what's the breaking of bread? Communion of what I've already done. He said, then they recognized him, and then he disappears. Oh, man. We had him right here and he disappeared. And so what did they do? They didn't care if it was nighttime or what, because they sat down to eat dinner, which means it's nighttime, and they took off to go back to Jerusalem, 6 miles over bad roads. What are we willing to do with the urgency that we have with God with us for those that are around us? Oh, Lord, help us. Let us bring those good tidings that we have. So they came and called the porter of the city, verse 10, And they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied in the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. So they came and told the porter of the city, because guess what? They weren't opening the gates for lepers. They were still lepers. But they had great news. But they still didn't want to let them in. And you know what? The world may not want to let you in, but that's not up to us. We're supposed to give out the good news. So they told it to the king's house within, and the king arose in the night, said to his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. This guy is skeptical all the way through. Therefore, are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city? And one of his servants answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, there is all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. Let us send and see. The hope that was there, the promise of things to come that was there, was greater than some of their fears, but not the king's. He still had his fear. In Proverbs 28, verse 1, it says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And we go, Lord, am I bold? Am I witness? Am I bold in who I am for you, Lord? We wonder sometimes, am I bold at all? Do I have anything that anybody else wants? And in Luke 17, verse 33, he says, whosoever shall seek to save his own life is going to lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life is going to preserve it. Speaking of the Christians, are you willing to lose your life and let God be more in your life than you have now? Because let's face it, we all need more of Jesus. Because we still have so much of ourselves. And if you don't, you better get up here and start teaching. Because I still got too much of myself. And I need to let go. Can't you wait for Bible studies in heaven? Because here's Jesus, completely given of himself for you and I. And he wants to teach us everything that he has. I can't wait for Bible studies in heaven. It's just, oh, Lord. I never got there, but Lord, I could have, because you gave me everything I needed for life and godliness, and I didn't take it. Aren't you upset with yourself because of that sometimes? I wish I had more of Jesus. Well, we can. I wish I had, but I'm not going to do anything about it. It is really where we are. Lord, help me to lose my life so that you can be seen. And isn't it just like those clay jars that Gideon and his 300 men had as they were on the mountain? And they had these clay pots and they had candles inside. But you know what? The enemy couldn't see those candles until they broke the pots. We need to be broken pots so that the light of Jesus can shine out. Lord, help us to get there, that we can be broken so they can see you. Ugh. So the king rose in the night, said, ah, they're laying a trap for us. And one of his servants said in verse 13, well, let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain so that they can go out and see what's going on. And in verse 14, we see the answer. They therefore took two chariot horses. Let five go out. And the king jews them down to two. I didn't mean to use that term. Sorry. That was a bad term. Probably shouldn't have said that. I just got racist and didn't even know it here. They talked him down to two horses. They took, therefore, two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. Go and see what God has done. Isn't it great that there's always a remnant that wants to see what God has done? And are we that remnant that we would go and see what God has done? Or are we the ones that would hold back and say, ah, let's not go out. It's just the world laying a trap for us. Go and see what God has done. And aren't you glad you got to a point in your walk where you came to that place and somebody said, why don't you try Jesus? Why don't you look to Jesus? Why don't you come to salvation? Aren't you glad that the Lord gave you that gift of faith to even believe, and you believed what you heard by faith because you couldn't believe it by seeing, because Jesus isn't around. He's in heaven. But we believe by faith. But it was the faith that Jesus gave us. Aren't you glad you came there and didn't hold back and say, no, I don't want to try it? We did that for years long enough, didn't we? Until finally the Lord said, are you tired of yourself yet? Well, actually, yes. I'd like to get saved. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And look at what you have now. You have treasure in you and good tidings of what God wants to do. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you've done in us. You've changed us completely. We're new creatures, new creations now. And so they took two chariot horses, and the king sent out and went to the Syrians and said, go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan. Notice the king wasn't one of them. He sent two others. Well, in case it is a trap, I'm still going to be alive. Alive for what? People are eating their kids. How many people you got left in the city that you're going to be able to eat, O king? Wow. And they went after them under the Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. I don't know about those messengers, but I would have stopped for dinner while I was there. I don't know if I would have gone back to the king right away. Hey, look, fried chicken. Hey, let's grab some while we're here. This smells really good. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians so that a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel. Isn't that what Elisha said? The prophetic message that was given now comes to fruition. And they start seeing it come before their face as Elisha says it. To the skeptics, to all those that were there, this is what's going to happen. These are the things that are going on. And isn't our Bible full of prophecies that are yet to come? Do you believe them? Yes. I don't mean do you believe them, but have you listened and heard them and taken it to heart? Because a prophecy is no good to you unless you take it to yourself. It's no good to you if you just give it out to everybody else and don't take it to yourself. It's when you grab a hold of it and believe it yourself that it becomes valuable. G. Campbell Morgan said that. Contributions don't become valuable until they've given of themselves completely. Oh, Lord, help us to have that so that we can give it out. And two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord, just like God said. There we go. See, God said it, God did it. You know what? There's a day coming when the rapture of the church is coming. And there's scoffers, even in Christian circles, who try and dismiss the rapture now. You know what? I'll tell them, see, I told you so, on our way up. As we grab them and look at them and go, see, I told you, I told you. That's still the flesh, but hey, I'll feel better about it on my way up, I guess. I don't know. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. So this guy who was the skeptic at the start, remember Elisha, what he said to him? He said, you're going to see it, but you aren't going to partake of it. Here comes the fulfillment of that too. Everything is going to get fulfilled. The king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, and the people trod on him in the gate, and he died. Can you imagine him? One at a time now, just walk out of the... These people have been starving for years. And he's trying to control the crowd. Not going to happen. They trod on him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And that Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows of heaven, this is what he said, remember, might as such a thing be? And he said, behold, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat thereof. So it fell out unto him, for the people trode him in the gate, and he died. What a sad existence. He was a great man in the kingdom of man, but he had nothing that he partook of the kingdom of God. He was a great man in the kingdom of this earth, but he had nothing to show for it in heaven. And he died before he got to partake of any food, of any riches, of seeing the fulfillment of this. He saw it from a distance, but he didn't enter in. He didn't enter into the tents of the Syrians and partake of what was left for them. He didn't get to do that. And there's so many people, and there's people that sit in churches every single day that have no idea who Jesus is. And they're going to see the rapture of the church, and they aren't going to ever enter in. And that's a sad place to be, to hear these things, but not really listen. Just like God said at the start, hear the things that I'm saying to you. And a lot of people have read the Left Behind series, have read Revelation, because they wanted to see what was going to come at the end. But they have never partaken of it themselves and taken it to themselves as being true. And that's what we have to do with the Word of God. Every word that's in here, we should be partakers of, to take it to ourselves, not just to listen to it for somebody else. And we hear that all the time. I need a copy of today's tape because I know somebody that needs to hear it. And I'm sitting there, I know somebody that needs to hear it, and it's you. You don't need to give it to somebody else. Take it for yourself. You know, if you pass it out, that's wonderful, but take it to yourself first. Don't take it for somebody else and give it to them, because we all say, God works all things together for the good, for those that love Jesus, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and we go through the whole thing, and we don't take it to ourselves. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And we tell them that as they're going through trials. And then we enter into a trial and we have no idea what to do because we haven't taken it to ourselves. Every word that's here is for us. And the more we partake of it, the more we enter, bring it into ourselves, into our own hearts, the better off we're going to be, because out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth is going to speak. The things that we're telling people are going to become reality. Because they know that we've partaken of it. The world can tell a phony, and the world can tell a phony Christian that doesn't know what they're talking about. And sometimes we can tell people stuff that we haven't taken to ourselves yet, and the world knows. They don't believe it themselves. And even if they do believe it, God knows. Lord, help me to take all this word and chew on it and meditate on it and take it to myself today, because I need you, Jesus. I'm in days that I've never been before. I don't know what to do. And Lord, I may not make it out of this parking lot. A plane part may fall from heaven and smash my car just as I get in the driver's seat. I don't know if I'm going to make it home. That's a great thought, isn't it? Everybody's going to go out and look through their moonroof just to see if a plane part's coming down. Lord, help me to partake of everything that you have for me. So, Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, of your great grace, of your great mercy. We certainly know that we haven't earned anything, but, Lord, you've given us everything that we need. So, Lord, may we partake of it, that we're not just listeners, but we're hearers. And then we become doers of it, Lord. That's what you have for us, is to bring it to us. We have great tidings in these earthen vessels, and yet, Lord, we try and keep it to ourselves, or we don't give it out, or we don't even believe the good tidings. I'm sure there were shepherds in the field that heard the angels talking and didn't want to take it to themselves. But, Lord, praise the Lord that there was some who came and did, and they saw the fulfillment of all of Scripture come to pass before them with the birth of Jesus. Lord, we have good tidings. May we pass it out. May we take it to ourselves and just be encouraged in our own walk with you, so that we might be encouragers to the rest of the world, that there is a hope, that there is a future, and it can be with you. And Father, may you just make it real to us, that we would be excited about the things that you have for us and walk in your ways. We love you. We thank you for your word, Lord. May it become more and more real every day. And Father, may we become those broken vessels that can shine the light of Jesus to the world around us. They need you. We need you. And we just thank you that you're willing to be had by us. We're just thankful in Jesus' name. Amen.